From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, those open lines, because it's Friday. And by the way, happy birthday and many more to Moe in New Hampshire. Hope you have a great day, and thanks for being such a regular Coast to Coast listener. Here's what's happening. A 5-ton, 20-year-old satellite has fallen out of orbit and is expected to crash somewhere on Earth on or around September 24th. Now, this is a story we've been following for a week or so. NASA says the risk to you from the satellite is just 1 in 3,200. It is buzzing along at 8 kilometers a second. It could land anywhere between 57 degrees north and 57 degrees south of the equator, most of the populated world. However, most of the satellite, according to NASA, will burn up or break up before reaching the planet. And also a planet orbiting two suns. The first confirmed alien world of its kind has been found by NASA's Kepler telescope. It may resemble the planet from the film Star Wars, but scientists say Luke Skywalker, or anyone else, is unlikely to be living there. Named Kepler-16b, it's thought to be uninhabitable. Cold, gas, giant-like planet like Saturn, the newly detected body lies some 200 light-years away from Earth. Who watches those skies for us? And much more? None other than the head of the EnterpriseMission.com and our science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland. Richard, first of all, this satellite story. Are we okay?
Well, the odds are 1 in 3,200 that you'll get clonked on the head. Look, we're using exactly the same statistics to do the odds that Elodine is artificial. And our odds are billions to one that it is. So if it's goose for the gander, it should be goose for the gander, don't you think?
I do, Richard. Absolutely. Now, let's also talk about a couple other things that are going on in space. First of all, NASA has unveiled a mammoth-type rocket to lift astronauts into space.
Yep.
What do you think of this?
Well, I've been predicting it for how long? And the last time I was on, I said this is exactly what's going to happen, and they've unveiled it now. And it is the direct, you're using the shuttle-derived technology to assemble a scalable new booster, meaning it can be small for small payloads or all the way up to going back to the moon and to Mars, et cetera, on the track that we have to stay with current technology, George. If we're really coming up on a disclosure event, which I'm thinking more and more could be in the cards, then that track one is not going to be the track that we're going to follow historically. We're going to go to track two, which is all the secret anti-grav technology that's behind the real secret space program and the free energy and all the other technologies that are hyperdimensional and based on torsion field physics. Those will be declassified one or two at a time, maybe over the next 10, 20 years, and we move over to track B. We are at a nodal shift, a breakpoint in history. And as I'm going to lay out at the Awake and Aware conference a week from tomorrow night, Elodine is going to play a major part. We have decoded a whole other part of the Elodine story, which has to do with mythology, symbolism, messages, and our friends at NASA.
You got it. By the way, I get a chance to introduce Richard at the conference. Just simply go to our website at coasttocoastam.com and look at my calendar schedule. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it. Well, you know, we've been talking about prayers for Texas. They need rain. Guess what? This is what they say. It rained. It was like manna from heaven. Well, maybe so. Cows in the Texas panhandle seemed just as perplexed as the owners when rain fell on Thursday. They had no idea. What was this? It's been that long. About 3/4 of an inch. It's the most significant rain in the part of Texas east of New Mexico, west of Oklahoma, in months. Yellow markings on the eyelids are a sign of increased risk of heart attack and other illnesses, according to researchers in Denmark. A study showed that patients would be 48% more likely to have a heart attack if they had yellow markings on their eyelids. Why? Because it's a sign of high cholesterol, fatty buildups in the body. Cardiologists said the findings could be used by doctors to help diagnose at-risk patients. Author Christian Wild with us. Another test. Who would think, Christian, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's important, George, is you don't have to be a physician or an ophthalmologist to spot this irregularity in someone in your family now that you know what it looks like. You know, even dentists today have a new added role in early detection of heart disease and stroke. When our dentist takes a panoramic dental x-ray of our teeth and the lower jaw, if they're very attentive, they can also see if calcification is forming in your carotid arteries and thereby alert your physician of a potential risk of heart disease or stroke.
See, I would think if you see yellow in the eyelids that they might be jaundice and they have liver problems.
Well, the jaundice would be in the white of the eye for the liver or hepatitis.
All right.
This forms on the lids, either the upper or the lower lid. Another thing that they did rule out in that study was that scientists have always thought that there's a corneal ring. It's a ring, a white ring. You can see it right around the cornea. And they thought that was from an overabundance of cholesterol. This particular study said no to that, but yes to the yellowing on the lids. George, have you ever wondered what your doctor's looking for when he peers into your eyes with a magnifier and a light on it on your local or routine physical?
Sometimes I've wondered if he's looking for my brain.
He's
Kristen.
Looking for your brain. Well, one thing, my friend, he's getting the best non-invasive look at the condition that's going on inside your arteries. That's the best look he's going to get. He can see high blood pressure damage. He can see cholesterol plaquing. And that's just a quick review for him as a physician before he goes into any other invasive procedure. I'm going to be reporting, George, on the World Stem Cell Summit in October and the actual building of replacement body parts with stem cells. Kidneys,
Christians.
Livers, bladders, hearts, and even limbs. I'm very excited about it.
Your work on this is phenomenal. His website, myheartbook.com. Well, if you're taking birth control pills from a company called Qualitest, you better be careful. They're recalling multiple lots of birth control pills because of a packaging error that could lead to incorrect dosing or unintended pregnancies. If you have birth control pills from Quality Test, call 1-877-300-6153. Fears of a deepening of Europe's debt crisis have prompted the world's leading central banks, listen to this, to pump U.S. dollars into the financial system in a coordinated action designed to boost market confidence. The Bank of England joined the U.S. Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and the Swiss National Bank and the Bank of Japan to announce that they would flood U.S. dollars into money markets over the coming months. Thousands of angry bees swarmed a man in a wheelchair in California, sending him and three others who came to his aid to the hospital. The attack also shut down a street and forced the evacuation of several businesses while beekeepers removed the hive, which was estimated to contain, get this, 60,000 bees. Up next, seeing the future and traveling to the fifth dimension. Who with us? Dr. Bruce Goldberg on Coast to Coast AM. He is one of the world's most renowned hypnotherapists, noted author, producer of some special CDs as well, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, regular contributor here on Coast to Coast AM. Bruce, welcome back. How are you?
I am just fine, George. It's a pleasure to reincarnate again on your show. And tonight we're going to see how we can all see the future, how we can travel safely through the fifth dimension to parallel universes and other dimensions. And we're also going to discuss teleportation and ascension techniques. And guess what?
What?
We have discussed several times. Remember that famous man, that gentleman from Kansas who teleported from 1876 to 1950?
Yes.
Killed in New York by a cab driver?
Hit by a cabbie, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to discuss some of the details. This is a very controversial case, but I dug up some details, which we'll find out exactly who this guy is and what they found out. So this is going to be kind of interesting. It's going to be the first case we're going to discuss. But first, I want to, again, reincarnate my offer from the last couple of times about the Exploring the Fifth Dimension, my newest book that you were kind enough to write a blurb for.
I love that book.
First of all, I just got a copy of, listen to this, La Quinta Dimensione. That's the Italian translation or the Italian vision. So all the Goombas and teachers out there in Italy, it's out as of today. I just got it today. Okay. Well, the offer is if your listeners want to get a copy of my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, from my site, from my office, and they mention the offer, they will get a free CD called Fifth Dimensional Travel, which will take them into hypnosis, out of the body, allow them to explore past and the future, parallel universes. You can meet time travelers. You can do a whole bunch of fun stuff. But you must buy the book through my site, not through Amazon or other stores. They won't do that. And you have to mention the offer. Now, secondly, if people who don't want to get the book, or they just want to try this, but they don't have a computer, please, if you have a computer, the Fifth Dimensional Travel and four other exercises are on my homepage, including teleportation, psychic protection, negativity, all the good stuff. But if you don't have a computer out there, guys, then, ladies and gentlemen, then you simply call my toll-free number, 1-800-KARMA-4U, which is 1-800-527-6248, and I will send you a free Fifth Dimensional Travel written exercise, and the first 200 callers will get, in addition to that, the access to the Akashic Records exercise.
All right, and you make sure you mention this again right at the end of the 2 hours that you're on.
So speaking of Kansas, the Midwest, the middle of the U.S. of A.
The gut.
The gut, yes, okay. The corn place. Corn, high fructose corn syrup central, okay. in 1876, a gentleman by the name of Rudolf Fentz was just walking along after a constitutional after dinner, and he disappeared. He was reported as a missing person in 1876. He was described as a man with mutton chop whiskers and black and white checkered pants, disappeared. Okay? Now, in 1950, he materializes or teleports and arrives right in the middle of the street in front of a car in downtown Manhattan by Times Square. He was confused, act as if he had suddenly appeared out of a remote place and couldn't. He was gawking at these electric signs and cars. He didn't know what they were. He couldn't deal with this. And he was moving frantically, and he was oblivious to passing traffic because he wasn't used to cars.
Right.
What happened was that he simply was hit immediately by a car and killed. Now,
and you can't blame the cab driver.
This
guy just popped up in front of him, right?
No, of course not. He was probably listening to a Yankee game. You know, you can't. Okay. So, anyway, 1951, they won the World Series that year. Okay. So now what happened is that he was found. He was wearing a long black coat, an impeccable waistcoat. The cloth from his clothes was made uncommonly thick for that time of the year. The shoes were narrow, pointed at the toes with a metal buckle. The deceased, Mr. Fence here, was carrying an amount of money and antique bills. Now, I'll go into the moment and what that meant as far as what that was.
Sure.
So basically, his clothes were too warm for the time. Again, he was he was killed. Okay, now, he was born in 1847, so he was 29 years old. This case was reported in the old Collier's Magazine, that September 15th, 1951 edition. This Collier's Magazine was like the Life magazine of the time. It was very big in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and I think it went out of business by the late 50s.
Did he have any kind of ID on him at that time?
This is what happened. The morgue observed the following. Here's what they found at the morgue. The gentleman had mutton chop whiskers, not real big in 1951, okay? He had a high silk hat, a cutaway coat with covered buttons at the back, a high-cut vest with lapels, a black and white checkered pants, as was reported in 1876, no cuffs and pressed without a crease were the pants, high-button shoes. His pockets included a brass lug good for a 5-cent beer. Not 1951, okay. A livery stable bill, this is how we know the date, dated in 1876, for feeding and stabling a horse worth $3, $70 in old-style bills from the 19th century, and cards bearing the name Rudolf Fentz. None of the items showed any signs of aging, and the fingerprints that they took of him from both New York and D.C., namely the FBI, I guess, brought no results. That's Rudolf Fentz. There's the man from Kansas. 1876, 1950, the only way you get there is teleportation. So there's your example of teleportation to its highest level here. So that's the man from Kansas.
Bruce, you've taught a lot of people about glimpses into the future. How easy is that?
Okay, well, basically, we're going to have a go through an exercise as to how to do that, actually. You can actually, first of all, let's deal with the dream levels at night. When you go to sleep at night, your dream levels are actually, the REM cycle is what we call the dream levels, are actually out-of-body experiences. UCLA and many other laboratories have shown that. So basically, our dreams contain fragments, because they're out-of-body experiences, of futuristic material because you're in the space-time continuum, which means all past, present events are simultaneous, including parallel universes, and you're kind of oscillating between back and forth between what we consider to be the past, present, and the future. You're reviewing the Akashic records. You can think of it that way. So basically what happens is that, now there are many advantages of using age progression, which is the technique I call going into the future. You know, I developed this technique back in 1977, and my first book, Past Lives, Future Lives, is the first book ever written on taking people into future lifetimes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you use age progression, this is what happens. You can use your dreams to see into the future, and I'm going to go through an exercise in a moment. You get a feeling of importance is felt as if you now begin to structure your life with specific steps. In other words, you become more organized. Your self-image improves. You receive information and ideas that you could not obtain from your conscious mind directly. Your confidence will increase as you find yourself no longer worrying about the outcome of events because you can perceive the outcome and avoid catastrophes. There are no boundaries or limitations to what your mind can create and accomplish. Important concept here, ethics. Always keep your motives pure. It is not, you don't want to be selfishly just seeking money or possessions or trying to manipulate people. Don't do that. The universe won't let you do that anyway. You want to keep a high code of ethics. Okay, so basically, how can we do this? Okay, there are exercises. Now, you know, I have lots of CDs in my site. The superconscious mind is the main thing here. This is the main technique of accessing what we call your higher self, or the perfect part of your soul. So here's an example. Just before going to sleep, focus on contacting your higher self, also known as the superconscious, to see the future. We're going to do this one night at a time. The first night, this is what you do. What you do is you ask yourself questions about any future issue. Remember, your superconscious mind level is all knowledgeable and has access to what we call your Akashic records. Okay, so now you slowly and carefully state your desire for information or an experience and let the superconscious mind work for you.
This is right before you go to bed.
Right before you go to bed. This is the easiest time to get you oriented to this. Now, okay, the next night. Now we're going to go into night number two. The next night, what you do is you now instruct yourself to travel to a specific date in the past or the future. Let's pick the future this time. Along with this date, name a precise location to coincide with the date. In other words, you're getting very detailed as to where you want to go and when you want to go. You say to yourself, I am now about to embark on a voyage through time, too, and then you state the location, the city, the actual area of the city, too, would be nice, and in the year, and then you give the year, not this year, next year, the year beyond, whatever, maybe 2012, December 21st or 22nd is a good idea. Intensely concentrate all of your attention on this place and date, and actually visualize yourself moving to this specific location, especially if you've been there before, so you know what it looks like. Now, the third night, you use this method to select your ideal future. This is parallel universes, what I call my new you technique. You visualize a series of five doors, each with the word future printed on it in large, bold letters. These doors are numbered 1 through 5. Think of a situation or an upcoming event, a real one in your life, that you would like to explore. Gather the actual facts that you currently have available, the best of your knowledge, about the circumstance or event, whatever this may be, and review this in your mind casually. Now open up the door labeled Future 1 and perceive how the situation will unfold. Observe as many details as you can. The previous two nights will prepare you to make this relevant and to make this a successful experience. All right? Now, as you open up, just observe and don't do anything. Don't try to force information. Don't try to analyze it. Just be a passive receiver. Then you repeat the procedure with doors number future 2, future 3, future 4, and future 5, the same time period. These are different parallel universes or frequencies. Now you choose the door that best meets your needs, and then you concentrate on just the number of that door for about 2 minutes. And you have just perceived your parallel universes, and you've programmed yourself to your ideal frequency. And that's a very simple, watered-down, diluted version of what I call my new you technique.
Let me ask you, Bruce, I tell you what, we're coming up to the break. So let's take that. We'll come back and talk more Our special guest tonight, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, his website linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. He is one of the best when it comes to hypnotherapy and past life regressions. He has taken people way, way back. So all his information and what he does, they're listed on his website, which is Dr. Bruce Dr. DrBruceGoldberg.com. And when I come back in just a moment with Dr. Bruce Goldberg, we'll continue talking about the conscious mind. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with him on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we're going to take your phone calls with Dr. Bruce Goldberg before we get into open lines. When we come back, we'll talk more about his consciousness program on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, Dr. Bruce Goldberg with us. Bruce, you know, you've been a hypnotherapist for a number of years. At what point did you start studying the conscious mind? From the get-go?
Oh, from the get-go. Actually, I read, I was doing a lot of research prior to my introduction. I've been in this field for 37 years, doing over 15,000 to 16,000 regressions and progressions on over, I'd say now, close to 16,000 patients. So I've been around. But yes, I was studying it. Of course, I was at a dental school at the time, and I had we had a lot of courses in psychology, neurology, and things like that. So I was dealing with it from the medical, psychological point of view. And then, of course, I read the metaphysical, the quantum mechanics, and all the other stuff. I mean, I have to keep up with a lot of fields in this particular practice. But it's fun, and so I was doing a lot of research. Oh, by the way, I've gotten a lot of emails. People want to know, if this relates to you, too. About speaking engagements, we both will be at the LAX Whole Life Conscious Life Expo on the...
That's October 1st for me.
Right. It'll be September 30th. It's Friday night, 2 weeks from tonight for me. I'll be doing a past life panel at 5:30 p.m. and then to 7:30, and then 8 to 10, I'll be doing an actual experiential workshop on guiding people into past lives, into the future, and into parallel universes. So that's going to be fun on September 30th. And then on October 18th, I'll be in Studio City for a MUFON talk on time travelers from our future.
Good for you.
And we're going to be doing a little reference here to that, too. And also, one last thing is people want to know do they have to fly to Los Angeles to see me? The answer is no. We can do sessions by computer, by Skype. Video cams, no problem, and my website has all the information about that.
You're in the technology world now, huh, Bruce?
Oh, the 21st century. Well, actually, you know, my contact with tracks of a time travel from the 35th century has educated me. Speaking of the 35th century, talking about future lives, since we're talking about the future, in my book, Past Lives, Future Lives Revealed, I report a case of a man named John who came to me. He wanted to work on some issues, and then we did some time travel with progressions, and he wanted to see about a future life. This is the only patient I can think of I've ever done this with, of all the thousands I've dealt with. He became, in the 35th century, a man named Kamar, K-A-M-A-R, who was trained in Muvia, which is the continent, the lost continent of Mu that rises up in the Pacific Ocean, as a time traveler. This guy has a future life as a time traveler. And it was really interesting. And he was, because it's the 35th century, he was, of course, involved and trained in teleportation, which is the mode in which the 35th century and beyond time travelers travel. So here's just a couple of sentences that describe his own experience in teleportation as a time traveler. I quote, "It was as though something twisted my body. It felt almost like I was caught in a giant web. Suddenly, the world exploded into countless billions of glowing threads. The overall effect was very similar to looking at a hologram, except it was visceral as you can see and feel the actual image. Part of me was confused. Another part of me was completely familiar with whatever this was. This is a personal example or a description of what teleportation will be like in about 1,400 years.
Interesting. Tell me about conscious dying, Bruce.
Okay, conscious dying is a technique I developed. Now, this is a really ancient technique, but I westernized it. It's a way of which you access and connect with the higher self, and you do that at the moment of death. See, normally when people cross into spirit or clinically die, what happens is their subconscious and their higher self are separate. And because of fear, because of programming and because of religion or governments or just fear, whatever you're dying from, the pain from an illness or whatever, people then go through what we call the disorienting forces of the lower planes, lower astral plane, basically. They go to the lower astral first, and they eventually wind up on the soul plane. And when they come back to reincarnate, they go through the lower astral plane disorienting forces again. Their clocks are wiped clean, as we say. So they come in newborn with basically no memories. Very few people have memories. The only time a child will have memories is between the ages of 2 and 5, usually, but you've got to really do a lot of techniques to get to that. Now, that's called unconscious dying and unconscious rebirth, and it's terrible. The conscious dying is actually an ascension technique. In conscious dying, what you're doing is you're hooking up and actually merging with the higher self at the moment of death. When you do that, you skirt away. Now, I detail this in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension. It's a nice chart and shows you how all this works. When the person clinically dies, they go through what's called the COBE, a conscious out-of-body experience. They merge with their higher self. They avoid the disorienting forces of the karmic cycle. They go back to the soul plane, and then when they're, this is called a conscious dying, and then when they're reborn, they again avoid the disorienting forces of the karmic cycle, so now it's a conscious rebirth, and this is an ascension technique. If you do this right, you may not even have to come back. If you do come back, you come back as a spiritual soul. So here's what I call a documented case of conscious dying that I report in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book. In 1979, a woman came to me in the East Coast. Her name was Edna. She was 64 years old. She was dying of cancer. She only had a few months at the most to live.
Oh, geez.
Okay? She was very depressed. The only joy she had in life when she was a younger woman, now she has arthritis, so she can't do this at the time. She was playing the piano. She loved classical music, but she was also a very insecure and indecisive woman. Everybody called her iffy, and she was growing up, and even as an adult, okay? She tells me that her spirit guide, when we're doing the superconscious mind techniques, was an entity named Shamani. At the very end of the last session, she said to me, "We will meet again." A couple of months later, Edna died. Now, her neighbor who used to take her to the session said that she died peacefully. She had a smile on her face. So it was a peaceful transition, as I call that. Now we fast forward to 1988. A couple from Kansas, not the people that we just discussed, called me about their daughter, Paula, who they thought was possessed. And I said, "Well, what's going on?" She says, "Well, before she goes to bed, she says all these weird things, and she's a strange girl. We want you to see her." And I said, "Okay." So they bring Paula from Kansas to, at the time, Baltimore. And Paula describes, I see her, she has a natural talent for playing the piano, especially classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Doctor, would you mind calling me my nickname?" Now, this is a very empowered and assertive young lady, okay? I mean, you know, she's really cool. She says, "My name is Iffy." So I remember that. Well, I have a very good memory. And I said, whoa, the Iffy doesn't fit this girl. And I started to remember Edna. So I pulled Edna's chart. During the superconscious mind tap, Paula tells me that she says, "Doctor, my angel is here." Now, a child will refer to a spirit guide as an angel. And I said, "What's your angel's name?" And she said, "Shamani." Now, Paula was born in 1981, just 2 years after Edna died. She never read books on reincarnation, had no interest in it, was a typical, 7-year-old child.
Sure.
She now is the reincarnation of Edna in a very empowered life. So Edna now, in a new life as Paula, can play the piano again. She has been consciously reborn as a very empowered young lady who has her whole life in front of her. When the parents asked me what was going on, I said, "Look, leave the girl alone. She's fine. You guys have the problem. This is a very empowered young girl. She's going to have a tremendous life. Leave her alone. Let her do what she does." So here's an example of a documented case, not just of reincarnation, but of conscious rebirth. Conscious dying and conscious rebirth, and anyone can do this. People have asked me about this because it is an ascension technique. It also deals with bereavement, too, and I have a conscious dying training program, a CD program that actually helps people.
Is it dangerous, Bruce?
Not at all. You do not risk anything. In fact, what's dangerous, or not dangerous, but annoying, is if you don't do it, because nobody wants to go to the lower astral plane in between lives. That is not a good neighborhood. Okay, you don't want to be there at all. So this is a technique that was about the Tibetans, the Egyptians, the Sumerians. Everybody did these. They called them different names, but basically this is an Egyptian Book of the Dead describes conscious dying techniques. They just don't use that term. I named it conscious dying and the COBE just to give it away for the Western people to relate to it without having to go to an ashram and smell a bunch of incense, you know. But basically, it's an ancient technique and it works. So going into the future can also help you with bereavement at another level. There's a case I reported in my soul healing book about a man, and I call him Lloyd. He was a businessman who had two daughters. One was 18, one was 15, the 18-year-old was his favorite daughter, and one day while she was going home from school, a drunken teenager drives his car up on the sidewalk and kills her right on the spot, right in front of their house. Lloyd is in major depression. I mean, this is, he just lost his loving daughter, and he doesn't know what to do. So I'm working with him doing super conscious mind taps, and I said, look, Lloyd, I have an idea. Why don't we go into the future? Maybe this is not the end, and his daughter's name was Maria. Okay? I said, maybe this is not the end of your connection with Maria. So he says, okay, look, whatever. I mean, you know, I'm just, anything that will work here. We go into the future in the 22nd century. He and Maria, who is now his granddaughter, are both scholars at a university, and they're very close. It's a beautiful relationship. Tears of joy are coming down Lloyd's face. And within a couple of weeks, his depression lifted. He became empowered. He said, you know, he says, I still think of her, but I'm not depressed anymore. And I know in a couple of hundred years, 150 years or so, I'm going to be with her again. And I just want you, I want you to know, I thank you very much for this. And that's an example of, I don't take credit for this, of course, him and his higher self are responsible, but that's what you can do with progressions. You can actually help people overcome anything. And speaking of healing, you know, I call this soul healing. I did a super conscious mind tap, and this is, remember we talked about, oh, a couple of years ago about your late relative, Shafika Karagula?
Yes, yep.
Well, I did a super conscious mind tap, and my higher self told me, it says, look her up and get her book. So she wrote a book called Breakthrough into Creativity.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, George, this was one of the most empowering epiphanies in my life. She describes something called HSP, Higher Sensory Perception.
That's right.
She described sappers, which we call energy vampires. She described parallel universes, superconscious mind, taps in a way. She didn't use that term, but she describes it in general. ETs, government conspiracy. She says, I'll quote on ETs, they're here, we know about them, and the government knows about them. So she was describing basically the energy healing and her level in those days. I mean, she worked in the 50s with Wilder Penfield.
She was a pioneer, Bruce.
Absolutely. She was a psychiatrist and a neurologist and trained with, I mean, she worked under Wilder Penfield, who was one of the most brilliant Canadian neurosurgeons of his time. He mapped
That's
out
right.
the whole neurological system, all the things that we do today in neurology. So, but my point is, so I want you to know that I appreciate that. And I think that Shafika is actually communicating with you. I think she's helped you with your career.
I think so too.
I think she connects with you in the REM cycle. And but basically, anyone can do what I call soul healing. And when you do that, our energies, our healing energies originate at a spiritual level. It's your higher self, the perfect part of your soul, the white light that people talk about, that can work with a person's being and actually help them facilitate biochemical changes in the body if necessary. The individual must be motivated and willing to experience soul healing. We have free will to accept or reject it. The higher self directs this union of the patient with the perfect energy of the higher self to do whatever needs to be done. Illness is not really a problem to be fought against. It's actually a condition of imbalance of energies, and the purpose of illness is to bring something to our attention, not to punish us. Okay? Soul healing cooperates with the body's own healing forces and even can change biochemical issues. I have a case in my soul healing book about a case of cancer and a case of AIDS. I don't take credit for curing them. The patient's higher self did that, but they did it, and it was very impressive. Soul healing is completely natural, and every one of us has the ability to draw upon this healing reserve and to access our higher self and to heal. Now, people who do soul healing, and remember, out-of-body experiences are part of this. At night, in the dream levels at night where the therapy works, this is when you're out of the body and you're accessing your higher self on the upper astral plane if you're properly trained. We can do things like etheric plane surgery, too. This is where cancer and AIDS and some of the lupus and some of the other very serious disorders are treated. People who actually go through the soul healing process are more empowered. They look at opposites of life as being meaningfully related, not just negativity. They're more creative. They demonstrate higher levels of intense thoughts and feelings. They have a lower fear of death. In fact, zero fear of death if they do this right. This is the out-of-body experience, of course, is the mechanism that's absolutely a part of reincarnation and ascension. Electroencephalograph readings of people who exhibit out-of-body experiences and soul healing will show a greater synchronization between the left and right brain. So, I mean, this is a no-lose situation. This is what I call my superconscious mind tap, which is the main technique I use, and all my CDs have white light protection on there so people never have to worry about any negativity. If you go out of the body with any of my out-of-body training programs like the Astral Voyaging or others, you'll never wind up in the lower astral. You'll always be the upper astral or beyond, etheric, causal, mental, or even soul plane. So this is something I wanted to just review, and I wanted to just, you know, show you my appreciation, and I'm sure yours too, to Shafika. I mean, her energy is still with us, and a brilliant, brilliant woman. I just wish I had a chance to meet her in her.
Oh, you would have gotten along with her. She would have loved you.
We would have had 3 week conversations, I'm sure, you know? I mean,
absolutely. Hey, you know, when we deal with these other dimensions, are there, a long time ago when I was a kid, I read a book called Out of Body, The Projection of the Body by Sylvan Muldoon and Hayward Carrington.
Right.
Projections of the Body. And they talked about these very dark, diabolical creatures on certain levels. Mm-hmm. Have you found that to be the case?
Well, sure. Those are what we call, you call them the shadow people. I know your site has done that in the past. Those are lower astral entities. All the lower astral. Now, remember, Sylvan Muldoon and his other book, Oliver Fox, another one, they wrote their books in the 20s and 30s. The problem with those books is they're very negative because they obviously had lower astral experiences. Now, Sylvan Muldoon was very sick. So he was, like, in bed most of the years. I mean, he was in and out all the time. So he was kind of drifting in and out of consciousness. But because he was ill and in pain and discomfort, where do you think you're going to go? He wasn't protected, so he went to the lower astral plane, and those were his responses. Robert Monroe's books, if you read his three books, they describe mostly the lower astral plane. Not a good place to be, folks. You want to go to the upper astral or beyond. So don't get scared by the old literature. It's only the books that have been written in the last 15 years or so, mine, Robert Bruce, and, you know, several others, that we write about the more positive stuff, and you can show how these out-of-body experiences are really good trips. Rather than people who have nightmares, when they wake up with a nightmare, that's a lower astral plane experience. When you wake up and you feel charged, you can't wait to start your day,
right.
You've got plenty of energy, you want to go out and do whatever you want to do, you don't look upon the world as, you know, all the negative news items, et cetera, that's an upper astral experience. So, again, just I've been getting a lot of these emails coming in. Just a reminder before the break, for those of you that want to get the free fifth-dimensional travel CD, you have to order the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book from my site or call it in if you don't have a computer, then mention the offer. You must mention Coast to Coast because it's only available to this network or this show tonight. And I will send you the book, autographed, of course, with the Fifth Dimensional Travel CD. If you just want to get the exercises, the written exercises, and you don't have a computer, because they're all on my site, if you don't have a computer, just call the 1-800 Karma for you, KARMA, the number 4, the letter U, which is 1-800-527-6248. And I will send you the first 200 callers get the free access to the Akashic Record exercise in addition to it. So that's what that's all about. Now, if you want to see what these look like, my site, by the way, has videos on there. You can see Jerry Springer's past life in England, about the 1600. You can see people overcoming psychic attacks on the air. I did that one several years ago here in California. You can see people experiencing, there's a time travel contactee on there, a UFO contactee, and people going into future lives too. So there's a lot of fun. There's 13 different videos, like a mini YouTube, as well as many articles. And those of you that want to see what a time travel looks like, if you go to the articles link on my site and click on the Time Travels I Have Met article, you can see an artist's depiction of Tracks of a Time Traveler, the 36th century time traveler who introduced me to this network, actually, many years ago.
That's true. Do you remember the woman that you brought when we did the sci-fi show?
Sure.
And you took her back to the
Egypt. That was
days
Egypt.
Of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Great story.
And remember how emotional she was?
Oh, she started crying.
Right. She wasn't in danger at all. This was a very empowering and positive experience for her. But you don't have to be emotional. Some people aren't, especially men. Men tend to not be as emotional as women when we do regressions. But the point here is that what's the benefit? The main benefit of time travel, as I call it through my hypnotherapy, is the elimination of the fear of death, because you realize you're coming back again, all right? And psychic empowerment, using your mind, the subconscious mind, the psychic part. Empowerment means taking charge of your life, which means, folks, if there's one thing you have to learn in the karmic cycle to ascend, lose the fear, overcome fear. That's what we're here for. Everything else is earth plane caca, but we're supposed to learn to overcome fear, practice the golden rule. That's not a Christian principle. That goes back thousands of years B.C. And just do unto others and lose the fear, access your higher self, and you're golden, and you're going to ascend.
When we come back, we're going to take phone calls with Dr. Bruce Goldberg, hypnotherapy, past life regressions, and touching the superconsciousness next on Coast to Coast AM.